While we're waiting to get started, everybody, I put down
the actual position.
Kanta.
You should learn these two. Kanta or kantyaha. Made in the kanta. Kanta is the guttural position, the throat. Palu is the back palate. Palu vyaha. Murta, right, is the upper palate. Tops. Murta. Dantaha, teeth. Oshkau, door, lips. Oshkau. This is made of the made by the lips, made in the lips, dantaha, made of the dental. Mordanyaha, made in the mordha.
Oh, oshkau is dual.
Yeah.
With the, oh, that's nice.
Dental is plural, because more than one.
Mordha, feminine, dentalu, kanta. Okay. So these are, you know, related. So you should have guttural, kanta, kantyaha, know these, okay? Oh, yeah. Bill was reminding me that in Panini himself, he gives an example of how to distinguish between the one mantra, two mantras, and three mantras. It's the crow. He actually uses as an example. So, Bill, I'll let you give the code. Yeah. One mantra, two mantras. I think it is an example, because how are they going to say what it is, you know?
Oh,
okay. The two mantras is twice as long, the same as the one.
Yes.
Three mantras. So.
Nice.
It's actually in the Basha, though. So.
Oh, the Indian mind. Well, it comes from nature.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got a lot of words in
there. Okay, let's begin again. Go to the bottom of page 2. I'm actually looking for one thing here. Just go to the, I'll be with you in a minute. I'm going to check. Oh, what's this?
Page 9.
There's something extra in this thing. In this handout, if you go to the last page of this handout, the Sanskrit alphabet handout, do you have before that two, page 9 and 8? Those don't belong there. I don't know why they're there. They just go. They need to be removed.
Not 8.
See this?
2 9.
2 9. No, but I also have a.
2 page 9.
Yeah. I don't know why. I gave them to Edward. I'm sure I put these in what I gave to Edward. You're welcome to have them, but they don't belong in this section.
Were they in the originals?
They must have been.
Huh?
Yeah. They must have. I don't know how they got them there. These 2 page 9s. Just take them out. They don't belong here. I have no idea why they're in the list there.
You just write boy the problem.
Okay. Does everybody have these words down here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to erase this now. For now. Okay, now if you go back to the bottom of page 2. We gave the asya, the point of articulation. We just went through that. Then it says, they are further classified into groups based on the type of effort used. And there's going to be 2 types of effort. It doesn't give here, but I'm going to give you in the Sanskrit. The first one is called Abhyantara. Abhyantara means inner. Abhyantara prayatna. And we'll be learning these terms in more depth. Let me see. If you want to get your spelling on page 9, you'll see Abhyantara prayatna, internal effort. That's what it means, internal effort.
Mm-hmm.
So when she says there are two types of effort, what she's talking about is the first type is the internal effort. The second type is what's called bahya prayatna. The word prayatna means effort. And it's used even in Vedanta in so many different ways. It's used like a person who makes a lot of effort in their sadhana, prayatna. So here the abhyatana means internal effort. Bahya prayatna means external effort. So we have to see what their compounds. I separated the compound by a dash. We have to see what those two efforts are. So going back again to page 2, after we've done the asya, which is the kamjaha, talavyaha, etc., that's what we call asya or sthanam, translated as point of articulation, she says, now they are further classified into groups based on the type of effort used. Okay? So the two types are going to be abhyantara and prayatna, bahya prayatna. Abhyantara prayatna and bahya prayatna. When we classify the consonants and vowels according to the effort, it again involves two types of classification. The first one, the abhyantara, is based on how the articular surfaces come in contact with each other. Now, articular means where do you articulate the word? Where's the word formed? And when that word is being formed, how do the, in the vocal system, how do the points involved come together? Do they touch each other? Or do they kind of come close to each other? Or do they remain completely open? So what is internally, what is happening with the actual vocal system? That's called abhyantara, okay? And so, if she says, this is called internal effort, abhyantara prayatna. This is called internal effort. Based on the internal effort, the consonants and vowels are divided into five groups as follows, okay? So let's look at these five groups, and then we'll slowly be adding all of these things. So we're only working with abhyantara prayatna now. Look at the five groups. You see she's got mutes. We're going to be learning Sanskrit terms for these, but not exactly right now. That'll come in a little bit. Mutes are what? The ka through ma, ka ka ga ka na, that box, this box, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Mm-hmm. So it's beginning with ka and ending with ma, that whole box are the mutes.
What about ha?
No, ha comes as a symbol. So mutes are just the ka through ma. Does anybody see what I mean by that? If you take the first one as ka, then go all the way down to the labials, and the last nasal is ma. Mm-hmm. So it's this square are what she's calling mutes. Mutes are sprishtaha. Plural. Means closed. The contact is closed. Sprishta means touching. It's touched. The two vocal cords touch each other, making it close. That's why you can't pronounce it without coming in with a vowel, right? So sprishta means, this is an R, sorry. It should be, no, sprishtaha, sorry.
Vocal cords touch?
Yeah, like if I say ka, or the vocal cords for ka, they close, they contact each other.
Yeah.
If I say the lingual, the tongue contacts, it has to break loose, right? There's a contact that takes place, that means they touch. Ma, pa, lips touch, dental. There's a sealant, ta, ta. So they contact each other, that means that you can't say them without coming in or coming out with a vowel.
And what is it, can you translate the word sprish?
Sprish, it means contacted or touched.
Did Kiki learn all this when she studied Hindi?
No, not by a long
time. It's not in Hindi?
Well, we didn't learn it this way.
Is it in the Hindi language? All this stuff?
the balls and the
where it touches
are.
And
no.
Isha Sprishta. These are the semi-vowels. What are the semi-vowels? Ya, ra, la, va. Okay? Semi-vowels. Isha Sprishtaha. They partially touch, not completely. They almost touch. Ishat means a little bit. It means they almost, a good way of translating it is almost touch.
Ishat?
Ishat. And you can see the spelling here in your, on top of page 3. Ishat Sprishtaha, the semi-vowels. Ishat Sprishtaha, the semi-vowels. Ya, ra, la, va.
Oh, I see.
Can you take a, just take a minute, please, and look at your page 3 there, at this chart on the top of page 3. Svishtaha mutes, hard and soft, that occludes the nasals. Okay. Ishat svishtaha, semi-vowels, ya, ra, la, va. Is everybody following on the chart? Ishat vivritaha. Remember that Isha means a little bit? That V is supposed to be... Hold on a second. Check the spelling here. There's a typo on this. You see where the second, where the third, the second Ishat Vivritaha, it should be long E. Like the top, like the one above it, it's long E. Make the one below it long E too. Please, you have pen for me, people. Ishat Vivritaha.
Yeah.
Ishat, okay. Ishat.
Isha.
Sorry.
Sandhi.
Ishat, if I break the Sandhi, Ishat Vivritaha, Ishat Vivritaha. Right, Sandhi. Ishat Vivritaha. Vivrita means open. Okay. Sibilants, and by the sibilants they mean they include the ha's included in the sibilants. So that would be sha, sha, sa, and what am I doing? Sha, sha, sa, and ha. Okay? Sibilants plus and ha. Notice she has the nether stroke on all of those. It's because she's not including the which we only reason we put an there is for pronunciation. Like here I have yara lava, so we can pronounce. Actually, the is not included, right? That's why you want another stroke. Okay. So vibrataha, ishat vibrataha are the sibilants. Means partially open.
Can you really tell, you know, yara lava is partially touching and shusha
sa? I think if you work with it, you can see what they mean. Mm-hmm. But all we need, you can take their word for it.
Yeah.
Right? Take their word for it and memorize it.
Yeah.
Okay. So isha is partially or, you know, partially open, a little bit open. A little bit closed, closed, a little bit closed, a little bit open. And then... Everybody have this down, or you've got it off the chart?
Uh-huh. I just want to see if there's no, it's not a long E here. She left the little flag.
That's what I was saying. You've got to put it in.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, if you see a short E there, make it long.
Okay.
Put it. Can I erase this?
Yeah. Okay.
Because you have it there on your handout. The last two, actually, just did it like this. Vibhutaha. All the vowels means open. You can say, e, u, u, r. There's no closure at all. So, in fact, if you open your mouth, it's just, you know. So all of the vowels are like that. There's open. So the vowels, except short and I'll talk to you about this in a minute. But let's just for now take all the vowels are considered vivritaha, open. Okay? But actually, the short is somewhat closed. Sambritaha. I'll show you the difference. When you say ah. But when you learn it's ah, right? It's not ah, right? You shouldn't have learned it like this. You shouldn't have learned ah. It should be ah. That there's a difference. There's a little tension there. It's open, but there's some tension there. Right? So the vowels except are completely open. This one letter is called samvrita, and that means there's a little tension there. Samvrita. So when you learn the alphabet, you learn and then with E and E, it's only a matter of mantra. E, E. They're vivrita. They're both exactly the same. E, E. Even though in usage, you're going to have always hear this E, E. Actually, technically, it isn't. There's not a difference. E, E. Does everybody know what I'm talking about? Like, you probably may have even learned it in classes. E, E. But technically, E, E. U, U. R, R. Sorry. You do. Go ahead.
No.
Do it for us. We can learn.
What?
R, R, R. Okay. Good enough. L. Okay. These are all considered vivrita. If you don't understand, just memorize it. Memorize it means open. This is contracted is the word they use.
For some? Is that what?
The samvrita. I don't know why.
I mean, what's some?
Is it? It would be samyak. But, I didn't spell this right. Sorry. I know what you want to know, but I don't know the answer to it.
Okay. Actually, they use it.
Samvrita.
Yeah.
Samvrita. Now, just to tell you how neat Panini is, when they're doing all the sutras for the Sundays and also in the formation of words, it would just be a really big problem if we had to have this be treated as samvrita when all of the other vowels are vivrita. It would screw up all of the sutras. There would always have to be an exceptional sutra for So he has a sutra that you'll be learning later that says...
the utility coverola sutra.
That what it says, is to be treated as vivrita. And at the end, the final sutra in Panini sutras, after almost 4,000 sutras, I think it's 3,996, something like that, sutras, the final, he goes, this is the sutra. That's the sutra. He gives back, and then you have to know the anuvritti, the words that are going to be coming down, that says, can now be samvritta again. He gives it back, the samvritta standing back to It's very nice. You know, but up until this final sutra, we're going to be treating as though it was vivrita, even though actually it is samvritta. Okay?
So I want to return to your question, Lisa's question.
Okay.
Using these guidelines, there is kind of a difference then in the pronunciation of the vocalic r and the semi-vowel, because one would be more open and one would be more partially touched.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but I see exactly what you mean.
I just wondered what the practicality of that means.
I don't really know. You say, do you understand what she's saying there? If all the vowels are vibrata, which means they're open, but it, actually if you say ra or la, there is no tension that's happening there, but it's also not hooked on to a consonant. Remember, the consonants are not closed. They're partially closed, right?
Semivowels.
Yeah, semivowels. That's what I mean. Semivowels are partially closed.
So the vocalic l.
Yeah.
Your tongue really actually isn't against your teeth, because otherwise it would be touched. It's in that direction. And the same with the palatal, it's not actually.
You know what? I really understand your question. I don't have the answer there. I'll ask Brahma Prakash when we talk on the phone.
I've always wondered this.
Yeah.
So
can you note it down for me? This is a good thing for all of us to know.
Yeah.
I'll be talking to her probably every week. And so questions like this, I don't notice. Well, just make a list. I'll ask all these questions. That's a good question. It's a very good question. I understand it, I know the answer. And that will be happening quite a bit. Everybody okay with this now? So what that means is that you need to be able to know these terms and what they refer to. Okay? Sprishtaha, ishat sprishtaha, ishat vivrataha, vivrataha, samvrataha. So you're responsible for these vocabulary words. Okay? If you remember, let's read through some more. She's going now to the second kind of effort, which is bahya prayatna.
What page?
We're still on page 3. Bahya prayatna. Okay? The second kind of effort is called the external effort, bahya prayatna. Based on this, the 25 mutes are divided into soft consonants and hard consonants. Everybody remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Hard consonants and soft consonants? The first and second of each of the mutes are the hard consonants, or surds. We're just going to use hard and soft. That's what I'm used to using. Some people do use surds and sonuts. What have you all used? If you're studying with me, you've been used hard and soft. Is that the same with you? Okay. So let's just note this, and we'll get Sanskrit terms for it in a bit. So there's hard consonants, which are the first and second. And then if you go over to the sibilants. First and second letters and the sibilants. The third, fourth, and fifth letters, and the semi-vowels and ha are soft. Everybody see that? First, second, and sibilants are hard. Third, fourth, fifth, semi-vowels. It doesn't say semi-vowels are soft. You should note that they're soft. And the soft, it's not written on here for some reason. Actually, I'm going to add that, so you can add it also. Also, when I put this up online for you, I'll talk to you about that later. How many people here have Windows-based Mac? Okay, so most of you have Windows. I'll put up either as a PDF, I'll put up PDF and Word, but the Word you'll only really be able to use on Windows, so I'll talk to you about that. Okay, everybody with me here? The third, fourth are the sonants and the soft consonants.
She's only talking about the 25 mutes being divided, but then...
Well, it's not complete. I've got to go in and fix it. You should have like this, just to be thorough, okay? First and second are hard consonants, along with the sibilants. What are considered soft consonants? Third, fourth, and fifth, semi-vowels, and the aspirate ha are soft. So you've got to add soft to the semi-vowels. She just didn't go all the way. She's only talking about the mutes right here. Mm-hmm. So here, let's look at this. The first, third, and fifth are non-aspirates. Who's learned non-aspirates as their terminology? Non-aspirates? Anybody? Did you learn something else?
Oh, we just learned the
non-aspirates.
At least we call it unaspirated.
Okay, unaspirated. Or you can use unaspirates or non-aspirates. I've usually used aspirates and non-aspirates. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you used unaspirates, that's fine. We have two other words for this that I want you to learn. Opakana. Mm-hmm. Opa means little. Oops. Would be the non-aspirate. And mahaprana, great, means more, right? Are the aspirates. So opa prana, now we're going to be using these terms. Opa is small or little prana, little breath. Mahaprana is great breath. They're not on this sheet, but I'm going to show you where.
She mentions them. Though.
She mentions them here. It says the first, third, and fifth. You'll see it as hard aspirates. First, let's see. The first, third, and fifth are non-aspirates. Okay. And the second and fourth are aspirates. Everybody see this in terms of the vyanjanas, the consonants, or the spishta? First, third, and fifth are non-aspirates. The second and fourth are aspirates. Semi-vowels are non-aspirates. She's not saying that, but it may be useful later. Semi-vowels are non-aspirates. Sibilants are aspirates. No. Sorry. I have to look that up. I don't remember. The second and fourth are aspirates. Mahapranaha. On the basis of the above, the following is a comprehensive classification of the Sanskrit, representative of Devanagari along with the corresponding transliteration in English. The vowel a has been added to all consonants to facilitate pronunciation. Does everybody know what she means by that?
Mm-hmm.
You see the ka and the, all of these consonants don't have another stroke.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that means. So the a is assumed.
What were you saying about sibilants?
I was saying that I didn't know something. I have to look it up.
And what was that?
Whether they're aspirate or unaspirate.
Aspirate. Ushmanaha. That's what Swami Vagishana means to say.
I know, but that's the Sanskrit name. We'll get to that. That's all right. So, opa prana and maha prana. Everybody clear for that?
Mm-hmm.
Aspirate and non-aspirate? Okay, go to page 4. This Abhyantaran and Bahya, we'll be going onto a chart that has all of that listed on it. But for now, I just want to make sure that you memorize the meaning of it and the context. And you can get it all by studying this over the week, studying this. All of that's memorized. If you look on the top of page 4, it's talking about the diphthongs. Okay. Go back now for a minute to the bottom of page 3, and then we're going to flip over to page 4. Do you see where she says classification of vowels and consonants? I want you to notice this. The simple vowels she has in the first column, you don't often see it done this way, but it's useful. The gutturals, is considered a guttural letter in terms of its osia, in terms of its sthana, its point of articulation. E is palatal, right? Palavya. Cerebral, murdanyaha, r. Dental, l, right? And then labial, u, the oshtyaha, u. This has to be known. Okay, you see. You have to understand this. But now, knowing this, this classification of the vowels. Go to the next page. Diphthongs. A-I are punctatali. Why?
Because A and I, the component parts are A plus B and A plus B. What is A punta? What is E talu? Right? It's a talu. It's punta guttural talu. Punta talu. Punta talu. So A I of punta talu. What about O and Al? Diphthongs means it's not a pure sound. It's made of components. So O is A plus U. A plus U. Okay. A, kanta, u, labial. So what is it? Guttural labial, kantoshtam, kanta ushtam. Kanta talu, kantoshtam. Everybody see how that is? If O is made of A plus U and Al opposite, kanta oshta, right? Kanta oshtal, kantoshtam. Makes a bahuvrihi. Kantoshtam. Mm-hmm. And then kanta, oshtal, kantoshtam. Okay? Make sense? Now, some terms that we use all the time, I just want you to get the spelling and remembering them. Anuswara. I always forget how to spell, whether it's long or short. Anuswara. What is that? Let's see. The dot on the top. Anuswara. Visarga.
So it's Anuswara, actually.
Anuswara. Visarga. Now, one I haven't taught you, I've taught it to you, but I haven't given it the name. Arga Visarga. Arga. Arga. Arga Visarga. Means half. Arga Visarga. And what that looks like is this. You ever seen this? And sometimes they don't often put it. They usually just put this. But this is the Arda Visarga. And, you know, if you look at it, it's kind of cute. If you magnify this, cut it in half, right? Okay. But let me tell you where this is used. If you have a Visarga, any vowel on this side, followed by Visarga, followed by ka or ka. You're going to get this Rama Karoti. Rama Karoti. Right? Now this is called Arga Visarga. If you have any vowel plus Visarga followed by pa or pa. Pa or pa. Remember this? Then this takes a if sound Rama Paloti. Right? Rama Karoti. Rama Paloti. This takes an ip sound.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah.
This takes kind of a kind of sound. It's actually a, like a, almost like an ah. Rama Karoti. Rama Karoti. Rama Paloti. Okay, it's called Arga, technically Arga Visarga.
So it's never, is it written like that?
Yeah, in some books. Often, in modern books, you'll just see it like this. But this is actually the sign that is often used. So if you see that, you have to know that this is a this is the form that the Sarga takes when it's before ka ka pa pa. Though in most of the text that we have, you'll just see it written as Visarga. But even though it's written as Visarga, it's Arga Visarga in terms of the pronunciation. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's some other words for this, Jihua Mulya Lupambaniya. We'll get to that later. Can I erase this?
Maybe Appa's clock or clock is good.
It's like an ach or ramach. Ramak, Ramak. You can even do it like so you're coming into the ka, Ramak, 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 Karatu. Hear that? Ramak, Karatu. Or Ramak. There's no, it's not half ka, Ramak, Kalatu. Okay, so called Arda Visarga. I think these are nasty, I'm not looking at for sure. Another one, Avagraha. We've learned this. And I'm always using the word anyway. Avagraha is that, you know, that replaces a short a.
Also, does that feel how avagraha doesn't have avasarga at the end to make it avagraha?
Avagraha.
Nice.
Yeah. and sometimes they'll use the a double avagraha to indicate a long off. So if you ever see a double of avagraha, it indicates the next word begins with a long off. Mm-hmm. You ever see it?
Yeah.
No,
I've never seen it.
No, I've seen it. It's not real hana, but you will see it. And then the short, just one avagraha, indicates a short of. So these terms you need, aniswara, sarga, ardhavisarga, and avagraha.
Something we were doing just had that double.
Yeah,
and I pointed out to you. I don't remember where it was. Probably on the approach on the Buddha. Okay, so that's what you're going to be. This section here is what you're going to be responsible for learning, studying, and learning all of the Sanskrit terms. That, and let me talk to you a little bit about some other things for you just to look at. Take out your Sanskrit sheet here.
Where does this thing come from?
It comes from this book. This book is called Laghu Siddhanta Kaumudi. Okay? I'm going to just tell you some miscellaneous information about this. And about this, we'll look at some things. The Ashtadhyayi is the whole Panini Sutras in the order that Panini wrote them. There are 8 chapters. Ashta, 8, Jayi. Ajaya is chapter. Ashtadhyayi. Ashta, Ajaya. Ashtadhyayi, that which has 8 chapters. That's the name for the Panini Sutras is the Ashtadhyayi. The Siddhanta Kaumudi was written, I can't remember who wrote it, sorry, was written organizing the Panini Sutras into making it more user-friendly for people who are learning Sanskrit. Like, for instance, all of the sutras involved with learning the Sunday rules are put into one chapter. All of the sutras that one would need for making for conjugating verbs into one chapter. So that would be taking all the kind of technical sutras or Sunday sutras that are found all over the place and putting them in together with the sutras that are used for forming conjugations. Same with the Krit. Forming nouns, you know, all of those are put together in order. So you don't have to do the work or have memorized the Ashtadhyayi in order to see all the sutras that are involved in word formation. Right? So the one author of Siddhanta Kaumudi said, let me do this for my students, we'll make it simpler. Then somebody came along and said, because he used the whole Siddhanta Kaumudi, the whole Ashtadhyayi to do Siddhanta Kaumudi. Okay? This text called Siddhanta Kaumudi. He used all of the sutras. Then somebody came along and said, this is overwhelming. let me just pull out the most important sutras that you have to have in order to understand the Ashtadhyayi. So let me give right an introductory text using all of the basic sutras that one needs and organize them in such a way that it's very, very user-friendly. That's laghu. Laghu means short or small. The small Siddhanta Kalmudi. And so this, and there's, so it's very, all of the most important sutras that you need to know to be able to move into the Ashtadhyayi, or the Siddhanta Kalmudi, are here. So it's just it's a good entry, right? And so usually when you're teaching Panini, these basic sutras you'll teach first. Then if you have those, then you can move into the Siddhanta Kalmudi or the Ashtadhyayi easily. So that's what this is. Okay, so it's called Laghu Siddhanta Kalmudi. So they had a bunch of copies of this. I pulled it out when I was at the ashram. It's nice. It has a relatively easy, if you look on this page one, I find that the Sanskrit is easily understandable, and we can read through the Sanskrit, through the sutras and the Vritti. And so I'm going to teach you this Laghu Siddhanta Kalmudi, at least up through, at least we're going to go up through all of the Sundi. Because if I can teach you all the way through the Sundi, you'll have what you need to be able to go on. If we decide to go on from there when we do the, we'll go on from there, I'm sure, when we're going through all of the conjugations and the uses of the vibhaktis, you know, like nominative, accusative, all of that. We'll always refer to this, but you'll have access to study on your own, which is what the goal is here. So we'll start with this handout, and then I'll order some for you. But let me just show you a couple of things that you might want to use for now. If you go to page 13, which is the third page, it has these charts. Do you see the first chart on page 13? Mm-hmm. Varna Udbhava Sthana Koshtaka.
You mean the Sandhi?
Varna means the letter. Udbhavaha means the birth of the letter. Sthana is the place, the asim, the place where the letter is born. Udbhava. Varna is letter, okay? Varna Udbhava Sthana, the place where the letter is born. Koshtaka probably just means the chart or the list. I'll have to look it up. now, just to look at how this is formed, go across the top line. A, E, U. I'm not sorry. A, E, R, R, U, Nya. It's not in the order that you're used to learning, but they're organizing them according to the bottom. See where it says at the bottom of that chart? Kanta, Talu, Murdha, Dantaha, Oshtau. So if you go down this list, you'll see all of these are considered kanta. A, ka, ka, ga, ga, na, ha, and visarga. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now go to the next one, going down. I, cha, cha, ja, ja, nya, ya, sha. These are the talu letters. And this is what I want you to memorize. I want you to know what the talu letters, what the kanta letters are. Murdha. Ra, ta, ta, ga, ta, na, ra, sha. Dantaha. Il, ta, ta, da, ta, na, la, sa. Okay? Oshtau. U, pa, pa, ba, ba, ma. Now see that? That is the arda. Okay? Arda visarga. For pa, pa. Okay? That if sound is oshtau. It's called, well, I'll teach that later. Okay. Now, nasika, nya, ma, la, na, na, and then anuswara, nasal. Nasika is the one for nasal. I didn't give that word yet. A-I, kanta talu, Everybody see that abbreviation? Kanta Talu? O Ao. Kanta Oshtao. Okay? Kanta Oshtao. Va. Danta Oshtao. The Va is that combination. Danta Oshtao. Va. Jihua, oh, it says here, okay. Jihua Mulia. Have you written that, everyone? Jihua Mulia is this Jihua Mulia. Mulia means, the Jihua means tongue. Mulia means the root of the tongue. That's where the sound is made. Like if I say Rama Karoti, Rama Karoti, it's made of the root of the tongue. It's called Jihua Mulia. Varanaha stan, these are the letters. If you go, the Varanaha means letters. So all of the letters are here. That's the name for the letters is a letter is a varna. Stanani is the placement. That's the asya, the stana or the asya. So the place where these letters are articulated is called stanani in the nominative plural. Varanaha, masculine plural, are the letters. Okay. Everybody see it?
Mm-hmm. So, Carol, where you have the artha visarga followed by the ka, are you supposed to read it as akh? And I mean, or is it because it's obviously not classifying the ka, it's classifying the combination of the artha visarga and the ka as jihua.
I just call it jihua mulia. You are not going to probably say akh. You just
but
say.
But that's what it's meant here.
That's
what
it's meant.
To say akh. With the, I see, so it's supposed to be read together as if.
If you want to say, if you want to make a sound, what you would usually say when you see this as the k or k, this ek, you don't usually say by itself ek.
Yeah.
You'll just say jihua mulia.
Okay.
That's the name of it.
Okay. But it signifies that sound, mm-hmm. So that's what it's representing.
Yeah. I'm saying, I'm not writing on the board for you because I'm not absolutely sure of the spelling. So let's see if I can find it. And Upadmaniya. Ah. Good. Go to the next page, 14. Actually, if you go to the last two words on page 13, right above the chart, mm-hmm. It gives the Jihua Mulia there, the two signs. Do you see that? Right above the chart. Mm-hmm. Then go to the next page. It says Iti Kaka Byam Prak. Before Ka and Ka. Are you on page 14? Mm-hmm. Where it starts with Iti? Mm-hmm. Penny, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry. Iti ka kaka pyam prak. Right? Before ka and ka. Arda visarga sadrishaha. Okay? Both of them, the sadrishaha means the same. Arda visarga. Half visarga. Sadrishaha. It's called jihua mulia. Jihua mulia. Jihua mulia. Jihua mulia. Jihua mulia. Yeah. I just say jihua mulia. Okay? Mm. It means base of the tongue.
Mm.
Now look at the next one. See the symbols? The jihua, the upadmani, I mean the ardha visarga before pa or pa.
Mm-hmm.
Pa pa bhyam pa. Before pa or pa,
mm-hmm.
The ardha visarga sadrishaha. Upadmaniyaha. That's the name for it. So jihua mulia and upadmaniya. It's just a technical term for the ardha visarga. The ardha visarga before pa or pa is called upadmaniya. The ardha visarga before ka and ka is called jihua mulia.
Just to make that more clear for you. Okay?
And jihua mulia translates as
base of the tongue.
If I'm on here, I don't know. To look it up, I never translated it. So let's look at it. Here we go.
Ardha Visarga. Ardha Visarga before ka or ka. Alright. Here's Ardha Visarga. Same. Before ka and pa. The Ardha Visarga before ka or ka is called Jihwa Mulya, as you see in your book there. In your handout. Jihwa Mulya. That's the name for the Ardha Visarga where it appears before a ka. It's telling you really the placement there. And this one, I'm sorry, I don't know what it actually means except as a technical term. I can ask, though. I'll ask Mata Jim.
Jim?
So.
Is it Jim? Huh? Jim?
Jihwa.
Jihwa.
Ha and Va. Okay, look. Ha. With a Va in. Jihwa.
Yeah, what is that?
Oh, no, because you have a little problem.
I have a little problem.
No, it's not supposed to be there.
Okay. That's what I was at. Okay, that's okay. Okay, get rid of it. Okay.
Okay, ready? So, upadmaniya. So those are two technical terms, they will come up, so might as well learn. Upadmaniyaha. Upadmaniyaha. That's the Ardha Visarga, the name for the Ardha Visarga before pa or pa. The name for the Ardha Visarga before pa or ka is Jihwa Mulya. Yeah, let me real quick, let me just look it up and see if they even have this in here. Or, you know where they would have it? I'm going to, let me get a couple of books to show you.
What are we going to do after this? I didn't even get to the half of the first class.
No, I didn't.
I'm ready to go to the beach now.
This is a good book. I'll leave it out for those of you who are serious about learning Padini. You might want to order it. It's called The Dictionary of Sanskrit Grammar. A Dictionary of Sanskrit Grammar. And if you were to study Padini seriously, you would want to get this book because it has all of these terms, like, I don't remember upadmaniya. I don't even think I ever knew it. But now I could probably look it up. Upadmaniya, okay? Upadmaniya, okay? A letter or a phonetic element substituted for a visarga followed by the first or second letter of the class. That's what I know, okay? See if they translate it. Visarga is simply letting the breath out of the mouth. When the visarga is followed by the first or the second letter of the labial class, right, oshta, oshtara, its pronunciation is colored by labial utterance. This colored utterance cannot be made independently. Hence, this utterance called upadmaniya, similar to a sound blown from the mouth. He has that upadmaniya in quotes, and then in parens, he says similar to a sound blown from the mouth. It is not put in as an independent letter in the Varnasamanaya, attributed to Maheshwara. Potentially, however, has referred to such dependent utterances by the term Ayogavahavarna. I don't know what any of that means. It doesn't really translate it unless upadmaniya means similar to a sound blown from the mouth, which I don't think it does. But anyway, it's a technical term. Just memorize what it means. Let me just look here just for a heck of it.
So what are you looking at?
I'm looking in the dictionary to see if there's some popular meaning for upadmaniya.
But would you are you looking up oop? What do you look up?
Upadmaniya.
The whole word.
Upadmaniya.
Okay.
Okay. here. I'll look further into it. We might not get much further than what we have. Okay, anyway, let's move on. So anyway, I wanted you to see that chart on page 13. And then on the bottom of page 13, let's take a look at this one too. The bottom of page 13, everybody with me? Do you see in the first box in the left-hand corner, it says Abhyantara Prayatna. Abhyantara Prayatnaha. You ready to see it? Top corner. And now go across. Sprishtaha Ishat. Sprishtaha Ishat Vivrittaha. Vivrittaha Samvrittaha. Everyone see that? Okay, now go down. So those are what we call the internal effort in that first row. It says Abhyantara Prayatnaha. Sanyaha means technical term. These are the technical, the sanyas, the terms for these letters that are going to come below. So look at the first one. See where it says Sparashaha? Everybody see? Sparashaha? Those are the mutes. The Sparshaha is the word for mutes. The mutes are Sprishtaha. Go up. See? The mutes are Sprishtaha. This chart leaves a little bit to be desired. But anyway, we'll work with it, okay? So you see the next one where it says Antastaha? Antastaha means semi-vowels. You know, I haven't told you all of these things yet, so just kind of follow along and I'll do it very clearly next week. But just for now, Antastaha is the name for semi-vowels, which you see below, ya, va, ra, la. They are Ishat Sprishtaha. So see how he made that line kind of going down? If you go up to Ishat Sprishtaha, that goes over only there to the semi-vowels.
But it does, so it should be one continuous line there at the Ishat Sprishtaha.
I think that...
So it's just offset. It should be right above that column.
It should be right above. It's kind of messed up.
Because the semi-vowels don't belong in the Ishad...
The semi-vowels are not Sparashaha. They're not Sprishtaha. The semi-vowels, Yavarala, are named Antastaha. That's their name.
Yeah.
And they are Ishad Sprishtaha.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
Now go over to the next. You see on the top line where it says Ishat Vivritaha, partially open. Those are the Ushmanaha. Ushmanaha is the name for the sibilants in Ha, Ushmanaha. This we'll go over next week to Ushmanaha. Then go over again to the next Abhyantara Prayatna, Vivritaha. See that? Go down. They are the vowels, Swaraha. Swara is vowel. And they have all of the vowels listed there, except for short A, Samvrtaha.
They have short A, not long A.
Yeah, they've got short
A. That's all right. He's using Panini. Because now go over to the Samvrtaha. See where it says, Raswa. Rasvo, rasvaha, akaraha, prayoge. Do you see that? You know what that says? Short a. Rasva is short. Akara. The short a, prayoge, in usage. Because now when we leave Panini, in usage, when you start talking, outside of Panini, the short a is samvrita. But in Panini, the short a is being considered as vivrita. So all the vowels in Panini are considered as vivrita, but when we get out of Panini, the short a is samvrita.
So why don't you mention the long a in Swara?
Because here none of the longs are mentioned, and I'll explain that next week. In fact, each one, the letter a, I, U, and R have 18 forms. Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, when we have the udatta, anudatta, swarita.
Mm-hmm.
So the then we have, each one of those has udatta, anudatta, swarita, the tones. Mm-hmm. And then each one has ananasika and unananasika, nasal and non-nasal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just say unless we have unless it's marked in a certain way, it stands for all of the different forms of okay?
So it's gone in all the others.
That's right. Ooh, and all of the others.
And
all the progeny. The whole group.
To the diphthongs as well?
The diphthongs are only 12 because they don't have a short form.
All right.
All these details I'll teach you next week, but I thought if you're looking through this chart, depending on how much you're studying this week, this chart could be useful.
Yeah.
Now go down to the bottom. Have to finish this now. Bahya Priyatnaha, the external effort. You see that?
Yeah.
Bahya Priyatnaha. Upra Prana, Maha Prana. That Upra, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then, so Upra, so Ka, the Ka group is Upra Prana. Ka group is Maha Prana. The Ga and Nga group, see, these are not in the normal order, but just notice the Ga and the Ga group and the Nga group, they're all Upra Prana. Ga, ja, dha, dha, bhash are Maha Prana. Yavarala, Upra Prana. Sha, sha, sa, Maha Prana. Remember, I couldn't remember that? Okay. Maha Prana. Ha, Maha Prana. Did I see
that? Ma over there stands for Maha Prana.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, these terms below we haven't learned yet, so don't worry about them. That vivaraha, shwasaha, agoshaha for the prayatna. I'll teach you those next week. But this is just in case you're looking through these things, and this is useful. If you use it, these charts here are kind of useful if you use it along with the handout. Everybody see? And the second chart especially will complete next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll go into the Maheshwarani Sutras.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Yeah. Let's just take a minute.
Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.